we fought with swords. Now I touch on my last moments. I received a deadly hurt from the viper. A serpent inhabits the whole of my heart. Soon shall my sons black their swords in the blood of Ella. They wax red with fury. They burn with rage. Those gallant youths will not rest till they have avenged their father. We fought with swords. Battle 50 and 1 have been fought under my banners. From my early youth I learned to dye my sword in crimson. I never yet could find a king more valiant than myself. The gods now invite me to them. Death is not to be lamented. 'Tis with joy I cease. The goddesses of destiny are come to fetch me. Odin hath sent them from the habitation of the gods. I shall be joyfully received into the highest seat. I shall quaff full goblets among the gods. The hours of my life are passed away. I laugh as I die.
Thus a most glorious conqueror declined to the piteous lot of a prisoner, a lesson that no man should put too much trust in fortune. Ivar heard of this disaster as he happened to be looking on the games. Nevertheless, he kept an unmoved countenance and in no way broke down. Not only did he dissemble his grief and conceal the news of his father's death, but he did not even allow a clamor to arise and forbade the panic-stricken people to leave the scene of the sports. Thus, loath to interrupt the spectacle by ceasing the games, he neither clouded his countenance nor turned his eyes from public merriment to dwell upon his private sorrow, for he would not fall suddenly into the deepest melancholy from the height of festal joy, or seem to behave more like an afflicted son than a blithe captain. But when Siward heard the same tidings, he loved his father more than he cared for his own pain, and in his distraction plunged deeply into his foot the spear he chanced to be holding, dead to all bodily troubles in his stony sadness. For he wished to hurt some part of his body severely that he might more patiently bear the wound in his soul. By this act he showed at once his bravery and grief, and bore his lot like a son who was both afflicted and steadfast. But Bjorn received the tidings of his father's death whilst he was playing a dice, and squeezed so violently the piece that he was grasping that he wrung the blood from his fingers and shed it on the table, whereon he said that assuredly the cast of fate was more fickle than that of the very die which he was throwing. When Ella heard this, he judged that the father's death had been borne with the toughest and most stubborn spirit by that son of the three who had paid no filial respect to his deceased, and therefore he dreaded the bravery of Ivar most. But Ivar went towards England, and when he saw that his fleet was not strong enough to join battle with the enemy, he chose to be cunning rather than bold, and tried a shrewd trick on Ella, begging as a pledge of peace between them a strip of land as great as he could cover with a horse's hide. He gained his request, for the king supposed that it would cost little, and thought himself happy that so strong a man begged for so little boon instead of a great one, supposing that a tiny skin would cover but a very little land. But Ivar cut the hide out and lengthened it into very slender thongs, thus enclosing a piece of ground large enough to build a city on. Then Ella came to repent of his lavishness, and tardily set to reckoning the size of the hide, measuring the little skin more narrowly now that it was cut up than when it was whole, for that which he had thought would encompass a little strip of ground, he saw lying wide over a great estate. Ivar brought into the city, when he founded it, supplies that would serve amply for a siege, wishing the defences to be as good against scarcity as against an enemy. Meanwhile, Siward and Bjorn came up with a fleet of 400 ships, and, with open challenge, declared war against the king. This they did at the appointed time, and when they had captured him, they ordered the figure of an eagle to be cut into his back, rejoicing to crush their most ruthless foe by marking him with the cruelest of birds. Not satisfied with imprinting a wound on him, they salted the mangled flesh. Thus, Ella was done to death, and Bjorn and Siward went back to their own kingdoms. Ivar governed England for 2 years. Meanwhile, the Danes were stubborn in revolt and made war, and delivered the sovereignty publicly to a certain Siward and to Eric, both of the royal line. The sons of Ragnar, together with a fleet of 1,700 ships, attacked them at Sleswick, and destroyed them in a conflict which lasted 6 months. Barrows remain to tell the tale. The sound on which the war was conducted has gained equal glory by the death of Siward, and now the royal stock was almost extinguished, saving only the sons of Ragnar.